you got a new trio today. And we sure need your prayers. Let's see this one.
Slip away, most any day, to heaven's shore. I find sweet rest beyond the gates forevermore. Yes, I'll reach home, oh praise the Lord, some sweet day. Step inside the gate and look around. I want at least a million years to view the throne. So many friends I want to see when I get home. Yes, I'll reach home, oh praise the Lord. Some sweet day when I walk up that great Milky Way. Goodbye, old world. Good morning there before the throne. What a singing there will be when I get home.
Thank you. had to lay down his life for me. If that is love, the ocean is dry. There's no stars in the sky, and the sparrow can fly. If that is love, the ocean is dry. There's no feeling in the sky. If that is love, even in death he remembered the thief hanging by his side. Took him to paradise. If that isn't love, the ocean is dry. There's no stars in the sky, and the sparrow.
About said we sure do need your prayers. I thought about what Stanley Sims talked about. He said some of them got up one night in church and was going to sing. They said, now we don't claim to be no singers, y'all pray for us. And Jim was sitting there and he said, Lord help we pray. I appreciate it. I'm glad that heaven is not a myth. I'm glad that heaven is real. One day we'll be there. Ain't that something? Amen. I stood by a friend the other day. Was just a few hours away. In fact, he died the next evening, but had told his family he wanted to see me, and I went to see him, and he was not able to talk to me much. But I talked to him in just a minute, and I told him, I prayed with him, quoted the 23rd Psalm, and I told him, I said, you're soon going to be where you've sung about and where you've been around where it's been. And you tell the rest of them in heaven that the rest of us are on our way. Yeah. It's reality.
Yeah.
It's a reality, folks. This is not a TV program that's going to be over with in an hour and make believe. This is real. This is real. And we're going to be in the presence of the Lord in eternity. Open your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Luke, chapter 21. Luke, chapter 21. And also Genesis, chapter 6 and 7 for the reading of the Word of God today. And I trust the Lord will speak to all of our hearts this morning as we approach this first Sunday of the new year. And I wanted to preach some sort of a challenge for the new year, this first service this morning. Maybe God will allow me to do that tonight. But I just really feel that I have what the Lord wants us to look at this morning. Luke chapter 21 and also Genesis 6 and 7. And I trust that we'll be attentive and we'll listen to what the Lord has to say today. We don't want to be like the man that was out one day, knocked on the lady's door, and he said, she came to the door, and he said, "Ma'am," he said, I'm hungry," and said, "I'm out of work, and I just wondered maybe if you got something I could do, and for money, some work." And she said, "Well, I do have a porch behind here that needs to be painted." And he said, "Well, I'll be glad to do it. I'll be glad to work. Just, you know, something I can do and get paid for and get me something to eat." And she said, "Well, around beside the house is 2 gallons of green paint and a brush sitting on top of it. Said, you go back there and paint that porch," and said, "I'll pay you for it." And he said, "Okay." About 3 hours later, while she heard knock on the door, she went, and there he stood and had paint on his shirt and paint, you know, on his pants and his hands, and you could tell he'd been painting. She said, "Are you through?" He said, "Yes, ma'am, I am." But he said, "I want to tell you, that's a Mercedes Benz and not a porch." Now, if you don't know what everybody's chuckling for, just see him after church and say, "What he mean by that?" You better listen. Amen. All right, let's stand. Yeah, you're laughing because it wasn't your porch. Amen. Herman Anderson told Mays Jackson one time, he said, "Mays," he said, "you'd shout if the devil's carrying the church out the back door." He said, "Amen, I'd be shouting because I wasn't on the load." Amen. Luke chapter 21, verse 7 through 11. "And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, Take heed that ye be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth nigh. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass. But the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilence and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven." Then look with me in verse 25. "There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass," have a nervous breakdown. Increase your heart pills. Go see a psychiatrist. Then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. I tell you, there's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's hope in Him. Verse 34 said, "Take heed to yourselves." Here's what needs to do in the meantime. "And take heed to yourselves. Look after yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." Our Heavenly Fathers, we bow today. We thank you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you for the privilege of reading your word. Father, I come to you this morning and I confess to you that I need the power of the Holy Ghost to work in us and the anointing to be upon us, that we might get across today what I believe you want to say. Father, I pray, and Lord, as much as I know how to do it, Lord, I surrender myself and my will and my tongue into your hands. And I pray, Lord, this morning that you'd be pleased to use this vessel. And I pray you clear out of this vessel this morning everything, Lord, that be displeasing to you. You know my heart this morning. You know I want to please you. You know, Lord, I want to be your servant. And Father, I come to you this morning, and I pray, oh God, Lord, that every heart and every mind would be under Holy Ghost arrest for these minutes. Now, Father, that we might hear what thus saith the Lord. Thank you, Father, for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for your touch. Thank you, God, that you're there. Thank you, Lord, that you're here. Thank you, God, that you're able to reveal yourself to mankind. And our Father, I pray that, Lord, that your name would be honored and glorified in this service today. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake, I thank you. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I just want to simply preach on this thought this morning. Is this it? Is this it? We've come and closed out a year that's been very tumultuous with the war in Iraq and with the presidential elections and with all of the things that have taken place. And even in our own vicinity here in our own county, a horrendous murder on Christmas night of a young teenager. By teenagers that lost his life, lives ruined, and how sad that is. But yet we woke up just one morning early this week to the fact that what they called a tsunami had taken place over in the Middle East and over in Sri Lanka and India and these places. And I heard on the news this morning about that they have accounted for 144,000 people are dead because of the tsunami that happened earlier this week. And they said that they believe that many or more will probably die from disease and from the things that will take place. They have had to bury them in mass graves and bury them as fast as they could. And this week, and our minds and our have just been blown, and our hearts have just been broken as we looked. And if you've got any tenderness or any sympathy or any humanity about you at all, your heart's been touched as you've watched mamas and daddies weeping over the bodies of their little children, and little children that have been orphaned because mommies and daddies have died. And Americans were over there, and it all started. And one afternoon, they're standing there that morning, looking at the ocean, and it's a quiet place, and fishing boats are out on the ocean, and they are fishing, and everything's quiet. The sun is shining, and families are walking down by the seashore and just having a leisurely stroll and just having an easy time. And all of a sudden, without hardly any warning at all, they hear a tremendous, tremendous volume of noise. And a daddy said he looked up. They interviewed him on Fox, I believe it was, and his wife and daughter were up on the beach, and he said, "I heard a noise, and I looked up." And he said, "My little boy is down near the ocean." And he said, "I look up, and here comes an awful wall of water coming just as fast as it can." And he said, "I screamed at my wife and daughter to start running for the hills to higher ground." And he said, "I ran and grabbed my little boy." He had no idea what was taking place. And he said, "I ran and with him," and he said, "we barely escaped with our lives." And so it came, hardly without any warning at all. And thousands and thousands and thousands of people have been swept into eternity and have gone. But here in these verses that I've read this morning is a picture of what will take place. You've got to understand that what I've read this morning is a picture and is the preliminary to the second coming of the Lord Jesus. Now, that is not what I read this morning is not the rapture. The rapture is the next thing on God's calendar.
rapture. The rapture can take place at any moment. It can take place at any second. God may stop my message and begin his own with this world. But the church, the rapture, the catching away of the church out of this world to go to heaven to be with our Lord is the next thing on the calendar. It can happen at any time. There are no signs for the rapture. There are no signs. I'm not looking for signs. I'm just listening for sounds. Amen. Of the rapture. You and I may have enough clothes on this morning to last us for the rest of our life. And me. But the rapture of the church is the next thing. But the words that I've read this morning, and you see, even that these things would not, we can see some things that are taking place already. Some signs of the second coming. And the second coming will be after, at the end of the tribulation period. And here God, the Spirit of God, is now dealing with the church. The Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, is in the world, and it is collecting souls for the church. Every person who is born again by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ now is a member of the church. They make up the church, the body of Christ. And when the rapture takes place, the church will move out of here. We'll go to heaven. We will be there during that 7-year period at the marriage supper of the Lamb and at the judgment seat of Christ. And the church during this time will be judged for our rewards, for our deeds done in the body. Listen, but what I've read you this morning, it will be 7 years away from taking place at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you, if we're already beginning to see signs of the second coming, how close must the rapture of the church be? And I want to tell you, if you have heard the word of God, if you have heard the presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have heard the warning and a clear message of salvation and that you must be saved, if you have rejected that, if the rapture of the church, may I tell you this morning, if you're sitting in this building and you're not a Christian, you've never been saved, if the church leaves out of here in the next few seconds, your salvation, your fate is sealed. You will not have another opportunity to be saved. For the first few little while after the church is taken out, we believe that there will be great trouble and confusion and people scared and wondering. But then the Bible said that the Lord will send them strong delusion, that they might believe a lie. I believe that those who are left behind will only for a few little bit, for a matter of days, probably if that long, will be in mass confusion, and they will understand that what they heard preached from this pulpit, what they heard preached over radio, what they heard people witness to them and hand them a gospel tract and tell them that Jesus is coming soon, they will know that that has happened. But they will not. You say, well, preacher, won't they try to get saved? They can't, because the Spirit of God, you can't get saved unless the Holy Ghost deals in your life. And the Holy Ghost will usher the church out, and it will go back to the Jew and begin to work with them to bring them into the plan of God as a nation. But hear me, listen to me. The Bible said, there will be a lie that will be told, and men will accept it. The Antichrist, and he may be alive right now. He may be alive right now, and there will be mass confusion. There will be trouble and heartache and all of these things taking place. All of a sudden, the Antichrist, he is a man who will be given supernatural power from Satan. He will stand up, and he will immediately walk in, whether it's in Jerusalem, probably in Jerusalem, and he will bring all the powers, all the nations of the world. These people, they will come up with an explanation as to what happened to that slaughterhouse crowd that preached blood all the time, and they say, that slaughterhouse crowd, I wish they had a place to put them. They do. Amen. They do. Amen. They call it heaven. Amen. And I'm going. Amen. But the Antichrist will stand up. He'll come up to power overnight in prominence. He'll come up and he will have a plan to unite this world to solve all of our problems. You say, well, we need somebody who can take care of our economy. There is such a man. Amen. And you miss the rapture, and you'll be right here to see it all work out. Amen. Amen. But listen to me tonight, here this morning. But the church will be gone. The church will be in heaven with her Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. Not being just to see, not giving an account of our sins, but giving an account of our stewardship and where we'll be rewarded for our service to the Lord. Amen. But notice this, and the Christ will stand up. Arthur Goldberg, who was Secretary of State under John F. Kennedy, he said, "We are looking for a man who can come up with a plan, stand in the United Nations, and come up with a plan that everybody will accept, that all the nations of the world will believe and come together. When we find such a man, be he God or be he a devil, we will accept him." I want to tell you, friend, there is such a man that is going to be revealed. The Bible said he would be. He will be revealed, and an unbelieving, ungodly, God-denying, God-forsaken world will accept him. Now notice, he said in that day, look with me again. He said one of the ways that you'll know that this is going to come to pass. Look again in verse, in back in verse 10. He said unto them, or verse 9, he said, "When you shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified." Don't be upset by that. He said, "For these things must first come to pass." There has to be the Iraqi battle. There has to be the Vietnams. There has to be the Russias. There has to be the North Koreas. There has to be the Chinese. Notice what he said. For these things must first come to pass. Look at this. But the end is not by and by. He said the end is not yet. For then said he unto them, "Nation shall rise against nation." Is it happening today? "And kingdom against kingdom." Look at verse 11. "And great earthquakes shall be in divers places." I heard them say, and I believe I've got the dimensions right, that the tsunami happened and when a fault, a weak place in the earth, out in the middle of the Indian Ocean, 2,200 miles long, an earthquake happened hundreds of miles under that ocean. 2,200 mile long split, and all of a sudden, and all that millions and millions and millions of gallons of water had to go somewhere. Oh, hear me. God said, I'll get to that in just a minute. God said, "I'll never destroy." God made a covenant with himself, and God said, "I'll never again completely send water to cover completely the earth, to destroy the earth. The next time he's going to do it with fire." But notice what he said. "Great earthquakes shall be in divers places." Then in verse 25, "There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. And upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity." They don't know what to do. They don't know which way to go. They don't know which way to turn. They're getting ready for the Antichrist. America is getting ready to receive, to accept the Antichrist. Oh, you say, "I may not be saved, but if the rapture takes place, I'll run and find me a preacher." The right kind won't be here. Now, Dr. Bottlestopper or Professor Whittle-Little may be here, but they won't be able to help you. They won't be able to help themselves. Hear me, friend. But notice this. You get saved now. Look at me. Look at me. You get saved now, or when the rapture takes place, your fate is sealed. You are going to hell. Amen. And there's no way out of it. You can't. You can't. Oh, you say, I won't take that mark of the beast. Yes, you will. You'll either take it or you'll die. You will. You will. Hear me. You wouldn't surrender your will to God. You will surrender to the will of the devil. You'll have no say-so. You'll have no choice. It'll be too late. Look what he said in verse 25. "There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth the stress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. It happened this week. Now, I won't ask you to turn, but I want to give you four things from a picture of what's going to take place. It's found in the book of Genesis. And the Bible said that God spoke from heaven and said, I saw the earth and I see that the earth, that man is continually sinning. He is sinning. And God said, I'm sorry that I ever made man. Listen to me. God said, listen, there is only one remedy when men will not turn, and that's judgment. I want to tell you, listen to me, and you can expect, listen, yes, God is a God of mercy. God is a God of love. God is a God of peace. But listen to me this morning. He is also a God of wrath. And you stand up against him. You take his name in vain. You reject the plan of salvation. You make fun of God's people. You have nothing but wrath to expect. Because listen to me this morning. If God let you get by, if God let me get by, if God was to let this world get by and did not judge it, then he is a liar. His book is wrong. His word is a lie. There's no truth in him. But listen to me. God is still a sovereign God. God is in control, and it will be his way in the end. I'll never forget, I was thinking about him last night when I worked at Gate City Funeral Home years ago and drove an ambulance. I remember a boy that we had to go get every week. Sometimes we'd have to run there two times a week, run emergencies. He had a trach. He was crippled. He was paralyzed from his chest down. He couldn't move his arms. He could not move his legs. And he had a tracheotomy. He had a catheter. I mean, and they had to do. He was about 20 in his early 20s, I think, at that time. And his mom and daddy and his family, they had to wash him. They had to wipe him. They had to do everything for him. He had a good mind, but his body. And one day we had to go get him. And sometimes that trach would get stopped up and he couldn't breathe and they couldn't get it undone. And we'd have to run over there to get him, load him up and take him, bring him to Holston Valley Hospital. Oh, it was like that. We hauled him and hauled him and hauled him. And I was sitting back there with him one day. And he said, J.W., have you ever heard the story of what happened to me? I said, no, James, I haven't. He said, I rebelled against my mom and daddy. He said, I drank. I ran with women. He said, I was wild. I wouldn't listen to what they told me. He said, I stood up in their face and told them that they could not tell me what to do, and I wasn't about to mind what they told me to do. And I'd do what I wanted to do regardless. And he said, I was wild and would not listen. And he said, one night, drunk, I tried to straighten out a curve, and the car rolled. And he said, I now can't even scratch my nose. He said, God, let me know that he's in good charge of me. He said, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Oh, but he said, I'm paying right now. He said, I'm having my hell. He said, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. But he said, Jeremy, it's hell now what I had to go. He said, you know how embarrassing it is for your own mama have to bathe and wipe her own grown son. And he said, it's all because I rebelled. I want to tell you, friend, this morning, you can't. Listen, friend, God loves sinners, but God hates sin, and God will not let you. You can't get by. And all, friend, this morning, run to Calvary just as fast as you can go and fall at the feet of Jesus. Listen, God said to Noah,
Won't you build an ark? Won't you build an ark? I'm going to send a flood. Well, they never had. The earth was watered with a mist that came up out of the ground. They never saw rain. They didn't know what rain was, but God said it's going to rain. Friend, whatever God tells you, it's going to happen. If God told you, it will happen. Listen, first of all, I want you to look at the wickedness. I'll give you four things and we'll go home. Number one, there was wickedness. The wickedness, number one, was unrestrained. God said they're continually sinning on the face of the earth. Sin was unrestrained. And you look at it in this day and age, and sin pretty much is unrestrained now. Yeah. Men do what they want to do. I'll do what I want to do. I mean, you look at the we've got four or five deputies and city policemen and a dispatcher that comes to this church, and they'll tell you, even when the people they're arresting are completely and obviously in the wrong, they'll argue with them. They'll argue with them. They'll say, and they'll run because they'll say, I am not going to give an account of what I've done. But I want to tell you, friend, there's a judgment coming, and everybody, listen, there is a judgment coming when every one of us will stand before a holy God. But listen, there was wickedness, unrestrained wickedness, unashamed wickedness. Have you noticed lately on television how bold they're getting with nakedness? And I sat there last night, was watching a little bit of a movie a little bit later on or earlier in the day, and I sat there watching that and thought, well, it's going to be a pretty good movie. And all of a sudden, there was a mouthful of obscenity come out. Ooh, it's just like running sandpaper across my skin. Oh, unrestrained wickedness, unashamed wickedness. Not only the wickedness, but then there was a warning. Did you know, you read about where God said take two of every animal, male and female, and put them on the ark. Did you know that they said, and it was documented on television, in television news, that just a little bit before that tsunami hit, that the animals moved away from the water? That they started running, that they started leaving. I mean, dogs and cats and cattle, they started running, they started going, they started moving away and walking and scattered all over the place, getting away from the water and going away. They wouldn't even drink out of a pool. They kept moving and getting away from it and going to higher ground. That's what you need to be doing this morning. You need to be looking for higher ground. There's wrath. The wrath of God's going to be poured out on this world. The warning. Number one, he preached. Noah preached 120 years. They laughed at him. They said, hey, you old fool, you old idiot. I don't believe what you believe. I don't believe what you stand for. I don't believe that junk. Hey, Noah, it's been 119 years and 11 months and 29 days. And there ain't nothing happened. You're a fool. You're an idiot. You're a false prophet. But the Bible said Noah preached 120 years. There came the day. Boy, I love this. There came the day when God said to Noah, come in. Come in to the ark. Come in. Why did he say come in? God was in the ark. Amen. Oh, listen. He said, come in. And Noah and his three sons and their wives and his wife, they went into the ark, and Noah took two of every animal into the ark. Ain't it something that old dumb animals that don't have a soul listened to God and went into the ark? And even after they all got loaded up, 7 days longer, the old gangplank stayed down.
And I believe Noah may have stopped. And I don't know how much he preached or how much he, but I believe that crowd must have gathered around and laughed and said, rain, I ain't never heard of rain. You're an idiot, Noah. You're an idiot. Seven, the number of divine completion and perfection. And God, the Bible said, listen, I read this last night, gave me chill bumps. God shut him in. God shut him in. Praise God and the Lamb, folk. That's security. That's security. When God shuts the door, it's shut. Amen. In Revelation, he said, I've opened the door, no man can shut it. I've shut the door, no man can open it. The wickedness, the warning. Then there's the wrath. All it took was for the voice of God. All you say, that's nature. God made nature. And all it took, God just spoke. And the earth belched. That belch that lasted for 2,200 miles and opened up. They said there was islands over there, hundreds of miles away, that moved 6 feet. The whole island moved 6 feet from where they were. You think how it's going to be, because the Bible talks about mountains will move out of their place. The wrath of God, the wrath of God poured. God, the Bible said, and I read it, and I thought about this since we sat there, when I thought about when they talk about the earth, 2,200 mile long fault opening up when that earthquake hit in the ocean. And they said, and I sat there and I thought about that verse of scripture over in the book of Genesis, when it said, and the fountains of the great deep were opened up. God did it then, and he's going to do it again. The fountains of the great, the wrath of God was swift. Number one, it was swift. Number two, it was sure. Folks, just as sure as I'm standing here preaching this morning, the world laughs at what I'm preaching. If there's anybody here from CNN this morning, I do D-double dog dare you to report this. Then worship. Let me tell you, Noah and them came off that ark. You know what the first thing they did? They worshiped. You know what's going to happen? One of these days, we're going to bow before the throne. And we're going to worship. Let me tell you something else. Noah, you can use him as a type of the church, but I want to tell you something. Noah's a type of the Jewish nation that's going to be preserved also, his family. Did you know the Bible doesn't talk about the fact, listen, God shut that door in, and there was only one window on the top of that thing, one window, and it was in the top. And did you know, it doesn't say it, that scripture nowhere says Noah come out the door. Perhaps they scrambled out the top of that thing. A type of the church. Psh! I want you to know I'm going out the top. Amen. I'm heading for the top. Amen. Listen, two things about worship, and while they come, we get ready to sing. I promised myself I'd get you out of here by 12. 15. Two things about worship. Number one, grace brought atonement. When they built that ark, he said, pitch it within and without with pitch.
The word pitch is where our word atonement comes from. I tell you what, I've been pitched within, and I'm pitched without. I know I don't look like it, but I'm, you know. Grace brought atonement, but number two, gratitude built an altar. Gratitude built an altar. They built an altar and offered up a burnt offering, burnt sacrifice, a praise to God for keeping them safe. One day, we'll meet around the throne of God. Listen to, is this it? Let me go out on my spiritual limb. I believe we're seeing the start of it. I'm looking for Jesus to come. I'm looking for Jesus to come. Are you saved? I didn't ask you if you had joined a church somewhere or been baptized. I want to know, are you born again? Have you repented of your sins? Have you been to Calvary by faith and saw Jesus Christ hanging on the cross in your behalf? Have you accepted Him? It's time to get ready, folk. It's time to get ready. Listen, if we're already seeing the signs of the second coming at the end of the tribulation, and knowing that the church will be gone 7 years before that happens, how much closer do you think the rapture is? Let's stand. You say, well, preacher, I just don't think it's that close. Well, you know what? You just made the Bible look even better. Because the Bible said, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Thank God. He's on His way. He's on His way. He's on His way. Are you ready? Are you ready? Well, preacher, I'll tell you. I think what I think is just as good as what the Bible thinks. Now, He said in all things, let God be true, and every man a liar. If me and God disagrees, guess who's wrong? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father,